You can comment on some of these things because beyond his businesses, he was involved in our community.
Yes.
He served as chairman of the Gilcrease Institute of American History and Art.
Passionate about it. Absolutely
really
passionate.
Was. Mm-hmm.
He would be so happy to know what Gilcrease is doing now. And when it came up that TU was going to be involved, I said, I am so sorry my father's not here to see this because it is this is a great thing just to get it more exposed. He promoted it everywhere.
And we should say that here it is in October 2022. They tore down the Gilcrease Museum building, and they're building a brand new one there.
It's exciting. I think it's marvelous.
It is. And then he was with the Will Rogers Memorial Commission.
That was a special baby for my father, and they got all of Will's books reproduced again. Republished. He worked with Reba Collins there for 30 years. They built onto the building, and he had Roon Arledge, who was the head of ABC, come and do the inaugural for the new building, which is now not a new building anymore, but it became very good friends with Will Jr. And so we used to see Will a lot, who looked just like his daddy. Mm-hmm. And he had a place in Tubac, Arizona. And so when Mother and Daddy would come out to Tucson to see us, it's an artist community between Tucson and Nogales. And we would sometimes go by there if Will was there. They owned a ranch, I believe, maybe right on the border as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of that's there or if it's any of my business, but I just remember that from years gone by. So it was quite a passion product. If you know, Will Rogers was a great aviator. He was a great Oklahoman. He was a salt of the earth kind of a person. And so that was very interesting to my father as well.
And then your father won the American Heritage Award for the Gilcrease story.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, he decided this stuff needed, much like what you're doing right now, these stories needed to be told. And we had the most wonderful person that worked at Channel 8, Bob Gregory, yeah. One of three brothers who were in the broadcast business, who were passionate, some of the most fabulous men that ever came out of Oklahoma. They have not been touted properly, in my opinion, but Bob Gregory was a wonderful storyteller. He was a wonderful writer. He was very curious. He had a marvelous personality.
Voice.
And his voice was just like, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
And so he and Daddy started talking about this. And again, Tommy Goodgame, you know, push this through, and they did the Gilcrease story. Then they decided they needed to do the Oil in Oklahoma series, which included different tribes and all, and they had these different programs on. Then they took it from there and decided to do a companion book for it, which Richard, my husband Oakes, went around to all the small towns and sold the book to all different stores and all it was one of his first jobs after we got married in 77. And then it just went from there. It was, you know how those things just spiral forward, and they did a lot, and that's how he got J. Paul Getty. He got the last interview with J. Paul Getty.
Who did?
My father did, and my mother, and everybody went over to Sutton Place, which was the home that J. Paul Getty owned in England, and did the story on him. And one of the questions that my father asked him, because there had been a notorious kidnapping of his grandson. I don't know if you remember,
yes.
And they cut off his ear.
Yep.
Daddy said, well, the word is you're having all this work done at Sutton Place. And they say that you installed a payphone because people needed to make phone calls. And he said, I did that because they were making all these phone calls to all over the world and I was paying for them. And he said, well, tell us about, you know, your grandson who had his ear, you wouldn't pay that. He said, if I paid that ransom, every member of my family was in imminent danger. Because the next one would be kidnapped and the next one would be kidnapped. And I found that, you know, they always sensationalize that in the news. But so he has that last interview with J. Paul Getty, and I have photographs of it. And, of course, we have that in our archives at our office, which I would like to get out sometime and get.
And I'm looking at this picture of your father with J. Paul Getty. Yeah. You have it sitting right in front of us here. That's pretty amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then they got the Chicago International Film Festival Award for the E.W. Marlin story.
Yes.
E.W. Marlin was a governor of the state of Oklahoma, so he did that story. And the Edward R. Murrow Award for the Five Civilized Tribes, The Unfinished Journey.
Isn't it incredible?
It is. Mm-hmm. For all the things that he touched.
It just started, and he was an Oklahoman. And he wanted to promote Oklahoma, and that's how he did it. He was lucky enough to have the ability to surround himself with people who were very creative. Bob Gregory has to stand out. Yep. Carl Bartholomew has to, there are a lot of them. I don't mean to not mention others, but those two were standouts who really made a major impact in the television business in the late 60s through the 70s and the 80s in particular. And Bob, I went with Bob over, we were doing the J. Paul Getty, the story about, and so he wanted to go to Pompeii because they were going to do this museum in California, which became the Getty Museum. And J. Paul Getty had been greatly impacted by Pompeii. And so we had to get special permission from the government of Italy to go to Pompeii to film. And Bob Gregory, we went down there and we did that story, and then he came and he filmed the Brighton Run. He stayed over with the crew and we did the Brighton Run again with him.
Mm-hmm. And I've had the good fortune to have been around some of these people. Bob Gregory and I, he wanted to take me to lunch, and I've forgotten why, but he listened to KRNG.
Yes, everybody listened to you.
And Bob, I was honored that he was interested enough to take me to lunch. Tom Goodgame, he loved everybody in town, yeah. But I don't know where it was. I would bump into Tom, and he would always visit with me about the radio station and all that. They were just great people. So I feel fortunate that I came when I did, and I could
kind
of relate to some of the people that you're talking about. You know, about J. Paul Getty, they said that when he lived at the Mayo Hotel, he put a payphone outside his apartment, and he did that there as well.
That's why he had money.
I got to ask the question about faith. Did your father have a faith? Was he?
Yes.
Did he talk about God? And
yes,
and
he was did that, all the time. Important? He often quoted the Bible: "To whom much is given, much is expected," and he sort of lived that way. Mm-hmm. And because he knew he had come up from a kid that was in high school and didn't have shoes to wear to school, like all of the other kids in his class, up to whatever he really wanted to do, and. He was, of course, in those small rural towns, you were limited by what churches were there. And he was a Baptist. My mother had grown up as a Methodist, and they were very involved with the St. Paul's Methodist Church in Muskogee. And when her mother had passed away, they had donated the organ to the church. Well, that church burned down, and they built another one. But we were lifelong Methodists in Muskogee. And Daddy became a Methodist and went gung-ho over that as well. But, yeah, he was very, yeah, he was. He was great friends with Oral Roberts.
Oh, really?
We put Oral Roberts on the air.
You did?
Yes, Channel 8 did. He had not, he was a revivalist. He was
evangelist.
Evangelist, and had tent revivals and all, and he had a real following, and Daddy and Oral became friends, and Oral had wanted to get on TV, and so Daddy was trying to get him to get on, and we had a friend that helped us out of here, and we got him on the air and put him on, and then they put in Boston Avenue Church on the air.
So
Sunday morning.
Your father put Oral Roberts on Channel 8.
Yes.
His program.
Yes, and Barry Switzer at OU football. That was
right. So was that the first time Oral got on television?
I think it was. Now, I'm not sure, but I know it was the first time he was on our station. Because, Sunday morning was all religious television.
Right.